Good morning. This is Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find me at mercenarygeologist.com. You can contact me at contact@mercenarygeologist.com. Next slide. As you're probably aware, I'm writing a book called The Mercenary Geologist Guide to Speculating in Junior Resource Stocks. And this book is really aimed toward teaching the lay investor the methodology of picking the right stocks and increasing profits by speculating in the junior resource sector. Next slide. I must say that I am not a certified financial analyst, broker, or professional qualified to offer investment advice. Nothing in that I write or speak can be construed as investment advice or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell stock. Evaluation of resource stocks starts with three key criteria: share structure, people, and projects. We will go through each of these individually and with the goal to give the lay investor a methodology for evaluating stocks for speculation. Since I am a field geologist, next slide, I focus primarily on the project. There are 1,750 juniors in the resource sector listed on the Toronto or Venture exchanges. It is necessary to eliminate as many of those from consideration as soon as possible. Being a geologist, I look first at the target. The priority targets for me start with a flagship project or a prospect generator. These are two different style companies. If you want more details on the prospect generator model, go to my website. There is a newsletter that deals with that subject. The flagship project is what we will concentrate on today. That is very much dependent on the time to development. So one of the key criteria is time. How long does it take to take the project to development and possible mine? Also of interest to me is the commodity. I am very specific in the commodities that I'm interested in. They include gold, copper oxides, uranium, and rare earth elements at this stage. Within this broad range of commodities, we also need to look at the deposit type and the potential metal content of that particular deposit type. In other words, we want something that has a geologic model that has proven to be economic in the past. Also of concern is the location with regards to infrastructure and access and the geopolitical environment of the country or the region in which the project is located. For a flagship property, I'm looking for an advanced project. Pardon me, we should go to the next slide. Advanced project with the specific commodity types that I listed in the previous slide. Location under consideration. We also want the company to have a significant land position in the area. The geologic setting is important because that gives an idea of the potential for a large mine. And finally, we are also very interested if there are producing or past producing mines in the area. Next slide. Continuing with the flagship property, and what you will notice here is as I discuss the flagship property, we will go through advancement of a project. So the more advanced the project is, the more in-depth due diligence we need to do when assessing the project. First thing we look at are the drill holes and the results. Those should be published on the website. I also look very strongly at technical information, specifically geologic maps and cross sections. If there is a 43-101 or a historic resource or reserve, that needs to be evaluated. As the project advances, it will require metallurgical testing, and metallurgy is the study or the engineering done to determine what portion of metals are recovered and at what cost. And finally, of concern are environmental or geopolitical ramifications that may affect the ability to develop the project. Continuing on, as a project becomes more advanced, we will go to the next slide. Mining and metallurgical engineering. So The more advanced a project is, then we will delve into, is it mineable, and what are the recoveries of the metals. In an open pit mining situation, you want to look at the strip ratio. The strip ratio is simply the ratio of waste removed to ore removed. So we want that to be a low number. A one-to-one strip ratio means one ton of waste is removed for every ton of ore removed. A five-to-one strip means it's necessary to remove 5 tons of waste for every ore ton removed. An underground mining scenario is much the same. We want to look at the waste-to-ore ratio, but also in this, we need to examine the mining method. It is a low-cost bulk mining underground situation or a relatively high-cost small narrow vein mine situation. We also want to look at dilution and losses. Dilution is simply the amount of material that is taken out with ore that is actually waste. And mining is an inexact science, so there will always be dilution. Losses occur where ore is left behind or ore is sent to the waste pile. The same situation as with dilution, although the opposite case. Look at metallurgical process and recovery, reserves and resources, what is the mine life, what is the yearly production, very importantly, what is the exploration potential. In other words, if there is a reserve and a resource, then what is the potential for finding more and extending the life of the mine? And finally, a very important criteria is the timeline to production. How long is it going to take to finalize the development scenario, finance the mine, get it built, and when will production start? Going on, engineering and financing. Once a deposit is beginning to be proven up, the company will develop a pre-feasibility or a feasibility study. It is not always necessary for both of these studies to be done. Mines can go into production on a pre-feasibility study. Occasionally, a final feasibility study can be done without a pre-feasibility study. Studies basically apply the economics of the particular deposit and a study to determine if it can be economically extracted at a profit. So in that case, you want to look at the operating cost per ounce produced or per ton produced or per percent of copper produced, for instance. The capital cost, what are the capital expenditures for starting up the mine and then also for life of mine? How will it be financed? Will that be a combination of debt and equity or one or the other? Does the junior resource company have the ability to raise the amount of money or will they have to go look for a major partner? Finally, you want to look at the metal prices and projected recoveries. What prices are they using in these studies? Are they using current prices, 2-year trailing averages, or projecting prices in the future, and what are the metallurgical recoveries that can be expected? This all leads to what is known as a discounted cash flow analysis, where a net present value is put on the deposit and an internal rate of return. There are many things that can be done to fudge these studies. You want to make sure that metal prices are generally 2-year trailing averages, or there is a strong reason why that something other than that is used. You want to see both pre-tax and after-tax NPVs and IRRs, and you also want to look at the discount rate that has been used. For instance, generally right now, 8-10% is discounted money models used for a cash flow analysis. Next slide. Financials. If it is a producing mine, then we want to look at the quarterly financial and yearly financial statements. We're paying particular interest to the operating cost per ounce or per ton mine, the capital expenditures that have been applied to the mine over the last quarter or the last year, what kind of royalties may affect the financial operation of the mine. Take a close look at short, short-term debt and particularly long-term debt. And this helps you determine where the cash flow is going. Is it going to exploration? Is it going to further development? Is it going to service long-term debt? So you want to look at the quarterly and the year-over-year cash flow, compare them. In a good mind, you want to see increasing cash flow or a flat cash flow. If cash flow is going down quarter after quarter, year after year, then that may indicate that the mine is not producing at its projected rate, or is not generating projected profits, or is running out of ore. And finally, of most important interest to the retail investor is the distribution of profits. Does the company dividend its profits to shareholders, or is it building a major company by putting cash flow into new projects? My preference is that profits are distributed as dividends to existing shareholders. Next slide. What makes a good mine? Well, it's very dependent, as you're well aware, that the commodity cycles go in boom and bust cycles. Something on the order of near-term cycles of 5 years, long-term bull and bear markets generally 20 to 25 years. So because of this, the timing of development and production is key. You want to put a mine in production near the bottom of a cycle and take advantage of the boom to come. Also of concern is the capital expenditures. A junior resource company has little ability to raise mega amounts of capital for large projects. At that point, they have to either sell out to a major mining company, or they have to get a partner and dilute themselves with debt or equity financing. And the most important thing that to make a good mine, it will be they need to be in the lowest quartile of the operating cost curve. In other words, their cost per ounce or their cost per ton is in the lowest 25% of the peers in that sector. That protects against the boom and bust of the commodity cycle. So even at low cost prices for the commodity of interest, the company can still survive and can still produce because there is an inherent demand for that commodity, and they are in the lowest quartile of producers, and they are not high-cost producers. Next slide. Now we will go to share structure, another important part of evaluating junior resource stocks. The things you will want to consider there in doing your due diligence are the shares outstanding, the shares fully diluted, in other words, warrants and options. I pay particular interest in the share price, high and low, all on the 52-week, the 30-day, and the daily high lows. It is a common phenomenon. In fact, I would challenge you to find an active junior resource company that does not have a double between its yearly low and its yearly high. And that is why we invest in this sector, because of the volatility of these stocks, buy low and sell high. To do that, you need liquidity in the stock. In other words, it needs to trade a significant volume of its shares over a 52-week period. I have a standard rule of thumb that for a junior resource stock, anything, if it trades over its shares outstanding in a year, on a yearly 52-week basis, I classify that as good liquidity. Liquidity is the Achilles heel of many juniors. You can buy the stock, but you can't find buyers to buy it when you want to sell it. So the other thing I always look at with share structure, and I've just kind of run this in for lack of a better place, is litigation. I generally will not touch a stock that is involved in any kind of litigation. Next slide. Share structure. So within the share structure, how many shares are outstanding? We would like to see a significant insider holding or a family or a friend's holding insiders, family, and friends, or something that some analysts and companies will refer to as tightly held stock. In other words, the core holders who generally will not trade the stock and are committed investors. Institutional funds are often a constituent of the share structure. That can be both good and bad. Funds are basically in a stock because they are trying to make a profit for their investors, so they normally will trade in and trade out of a stock. It's very hard to track institutional holdings at some times. The main warning that you would want to look at in that case is you want a spread of institutions, not a concentration of stock held by one particular institution, because that makes the insiders and the people that control the company beholden to that particular institution. Of utmost importance for liquidity is the public stock float, the retail investors, because those are the people that trade in and trade out of the stock on a regular basis, and that generates liquidity. We also want to look at the warrants and the options, whether they are in the money or out of the money. Especially warrants can put artificial caps on a stock price and keep it from achieving higher prices with overhanging warrants that are in the money. So you pay particular attention to whether the warrants and options are in the money, out of the money, the expiration dates, and the number of stocks. Shares that are in the fully diluted category. Next slide. Within the broad realm of share structure, we want to look at the working capital. And that would include both cash and equities. You look at the burn rate, general administrative, and exploration to see exactly how long the company can continue its business plan without going to the market with additional share dilution through an equity financing. Take a long, hard look at long-term debt. Although most junior resource companies in the exploration realm should have no long-term debt, short-term debt will tell you, does the company pay its bills on time? If there's a significant amount of short-term debt outstanding and a low amount of working capital, you know the company is in starting to be under financial duress. We would also take a look at recent financings, whether those have been closed or proposed, amended, canceled. We'll tell you how the market views that particular company at this particular time and give you an idea of if this is a good investment you should consider. Next slide. Before I go on, I would also like to let's go back to share structure and talk a little bit about insider selling. That is the bane of many junior resource companies, especially ones that I refer to as mining the stock market. I would very much prefer that insiders never sell. If they are selling their stock or buying their stock, why and for what reason? We will now go to the people part of the equation. Many analysts will start with this. I tend to look at it last because the people that are running a junior resource company are key to its success. I am able to eliminate many companies right off the bat because of flagship project fails or the share structure fails, then the final criteria will be the people involved. The management team, you'll have a CEO and a president, a CFO, and a board of directors. On a technical team, you have a chief operating officer, which is also often an engineer, a chief geologist, a VP exploration. Going down the line, as a company becomes more advanced, mining engineers, metallurgical engineers, and a cast of senior and junior geologists and engineers. And on an advisory board, you have consultants with technical and financial expertise. To look at the people, you want to look at their educational and professional backgrounds. I much prefer companies run by geologists than engineers. They need to be experienced in the junior resource sector, and you should look closely at their experience, the companies they ran before. Are they successful or were they failures? Most junior resource company fails, so you're looking for a specific group of people with positive track records. You also want to look at their compensation. Compensation for the people at the top can be can come from several different ways, through salaries, often through management fees of the companies that they run, options and bonuses. You want to make sure that these people are doing their job and they're not overly compensated for what they're doing. Once again, many insiders in this business establish companies because they have found a way to live an upper middle class lifestyle by collecting salaries, management fees, and bonuses from the companies that they represent. They may or may not have retail shareholders' best interests in mind. Finally, you want especially on a board of directors, a broad range of technical expertise. Companies should be run by geologists and engineers. On the board of directors, it should have one financier, one lawyer, and one accountant. If a company is loaded up with lawyers and bankers and accountants, that raises a red flag immediately because they do not have technical expertise. Next slide. It's kind of a final due diligence. We would take a look at the company's website. It needs to be professionally done and aesthetically pleasing. Up to date, if it's a obsolete data on a website that tells you the company is either dormant or having financial difficulties or perhaps is not concerned with its public image. Want to make sure all the links are functional and complete data is provided, especially with respect to the flagship property. For analysts, myself, and lay investors who are have technical expertise of some sort, want to make sure that all the geologic sections, the maps, all the data is provided, lists of individual drill hole assays, etc. We want to see news releases with either maps or sections embedded into them, or with links to the website where geologic maps and drill hole sections are presented. There is a company called Corebox.net that publishes geologic sections and 3D models for many juniors. That is something you should check out. Finally, I want to compare the website with its peers. Is it up to date? Is it professionally done? Aesthetically pleasing? Does it compete well with its peers? And finally, when I'm doing these evaluations, they are generally with a CEO at an investment conference, and any retail lay investor can go to one of the investment conference and talk to the CEOs at the exhibiting booth. But there are four questions that I finalize an interview with when I am very interested in a company, and that is, what will cause your stock price to double in 12 months or less? You look the CEO in the eye and you ask him these questions. What could be the logical cause of a project, flagship project failure? And there are 1,750 juniors out there. What makes your particular company an investment of merit compared to its peers? In other words, how does it stand out when compared to its peers? Why does it deserve my investment dollars when there are 1,749 other juniors competing for those investment dollars? And finally, look the guy in the eye and ask him directly, what have you not told me that I need to know? If a CEO can answer these four questions honestly, it tells you, and quickly it tells you, that he has thought about these sorts of things and he is interested in making the company a success to reward its shareholders. Next slide. So in summary here, in evaluating junior resource companies, as I've told you, 50% will fail on the flagship property. 25% an additional 25% will fail on share structure. 15% will fail the due diligence on its management and technical teams, and unbelievably or not, 5% fail because of a poor website presentation. If we add all those up, that means that 95% of all juniors listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange or the Toronto Venture Exchange will fail an initial due diligence based on its share structure, people, and projects. Next slide. So of 1,750 juniors, 5% will pass initial due diligence. That means that 85 to 90 companies will pass at any one particular time. And as a final test, if to attract our speculating dollars, the company needs to be currently undervalued compared to its peers. Now, undervalue or overvalue is very dependent on timing. Through the course of a year or two, many companies will be overvalued or undervalued when compared to their peers in the junior resource sector. If a company is undervalued today and I choose it as a speculation, that means that I think it will be fully valued or overvalued within the next 12 months. So of the 85 to 90 that are initially considered, about 1 in 5, 20% of those will be undervalued at any particular time. So that means that of the 1,750 juniors, as an analyst in the exploration and mining sector, I will have 15 to 20 stocks on my radar screen at any one time. I will hold somewhere between 15 and 25 already as an investor. So if you add those up, that means at any one time I am covering or holding or watching something on the order of 35 to 40 stocks, 30 to 45 as a broad range. If you do the math on that, that means at any one time I am interested in somewhere around 2 to 2.5% of the junior resource companies listed on the various stock exchanges. So what does this all mean in doing a due diligence and evaluating junior resource stocks? Well, that has very much to do with my investing philosophy. So let's go to the next slide. The power of two. I have written on this concept, and it is a methodology, a somewhat program methodology for trading junior resource stocks. I am looking solely for stock price to double in 12 months or less. When that happens, I sell one half of my position. That gives me a cost basis of zero for the remaining one half of my position. So I've doubled, I've sold half, I've taken all my money off the table, I still hold half the company's shares, and I'm ready to do it again. In other words, at that point, I am playing with someone else's money. At that point, I might even be playing with your money. But we reinvest that money in another undervalued stock, and we do it again, and we do it again and again. So you're preserving capital, and you're accumulating half positions in junior after junior after junior at zero cost basis. Then with these open orders to sell all stocks at a double, I think you can understand how the philosophy works. Because I'm a field geologist and I am in the field probably one-third to one-half the time, I do not always have access to a broker. Therefore, I program it sell at intervals on the uptick, take profits. It is very easy to sell stocks on the way up, but it's very hard to sell them on the way down. The way to protect yourself against the ups and downs of market is to program sell after you've taken your double, program sell at intervals on the uptick. At specific intervals, say 25-cent intervals, sell a small tranche. If the stock price goes higher and higher and higher and gets in the multi-dollar range, then you may want to sell at intervals at 50 cents or even a dollar, selling tranches of the stock, continuing to take profits. As I've said, it's very easy to sell in the uptick. It's hard to sell in a downtick. So we protect ourselves by setting specific stop losses. In the general ebb and flow of the stock market, if a stock is going down, we're still taking profits on that by setting stop losses on the way down. So considering the fact that we've taken all our money off the table on that, everything is pure profit, so by setting stop losses, we're still taking profits, protecting ourselves against bear markets. This is an infallible way to make money in the junior resource sector. It works wonderfully, exquisitely in bull markets, and even in bear markets, if you pick good stocks and position yourself right and set stop losses on the downtick, you will continue to prosper with this investing philosophy. Next slide. This has been a primer for evaluating, speculating, and junior resource companies. This criteria that I've laid out is available for my free email subscribers through a company evaluation template. Go to my website, sign up as a free email subscriber, send me a notification, and my staff will send you the company evaluation template, which is what I use to evaluate every junior resource company I'm consider speculating in. The purpose of my book, the purpose of what I do in these presentations and investment conferences, is to teach the lay investor an ability to do his own research and his own due diligence. My friend Otto Rock, who writes a newsletter called Inca Kola News, has an acronym, D-Y-O-D-D-D, do your own due diligence, dude, and that is necessary to make good picks. My philosophy in investing depends on the ability to pick good stocks that are currently undervalued. We all learn something every day. I hope you've learned something by listening in to my presentation here. A day without learning is a day wasted. Buena suerte, inversionistas. In other words, good luck, investors. To find me, next slide, sign up as a free subscriber to my newsletter, which is called Monday Morning Musings from Mickey the Mercenary Geologist. I like alliteration. You can go to my website homepage at, next slide, www.mercenarygeologist.com. Sign up, become a free email subscriber. I will send you the company evaluation template. Thank you very much for your time.